I want to read from Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And again it's written in verse 10. In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I hope this morning we can be in tune with heaven. There are 19 people here this morning who have repented of their sins and have received Christ as their Savior and Lord, and they want to obey the Lord in water baptism. And I believe, brothers and sisters, all of us must rejoice along with them and be in tune with heaven. Everybody must have a party spirit this morning. Honestly, you don't have to be so serious. Heaven's happy. Over 19 brothers and sisters who repented of their sins. And I believe we must also be in the same spirit. Like, I often think of all these football fans in the World Cup. They're not shy like some of us to cheer their team. They give their full energy to support. And I got to encourage some of you. We got to cheer all these brothers and sisters. And I'm not tired of saying, after the meeting, go and hug them and congratulate them and appreciate them and say something encouraging. Say, you got a wonderful future in Christ. And I believe all of us must do that. And we must get over our shyness and timidity, and if we can use a little strong word, you don't have to be dumb, brothers and sisters. Open your mouth and encourage them. So I'm so thrilled to see young people turning to the Lord and wanting to follow Jesus. And so I want to share some words to them about baptism. This morning I want to speak briefly about repentance, about baptism in water, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want to first of all turn to Luke chapter 3. See, in the Old Testament there was no such thing as baptism. Only in the New Testament we read about this word baptism. And that was introduced by John in Luke chapter 3. It says here, verse 2, the word of God came to John and came into all the district around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I wish we can all be gripped by the word of God. So it's called the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So when a person gets baptized, it doesn't say he's perfect. It means that the person has repented and turned to God. And then you see what John the Baptist preached. The voice of one, verse 3, one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, every mountain and hill will be brought low, the crooked will become straight, and the rough shall rough road smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. You know, John the Baptist was a radical preacher. He was not like some of these prosperity gospel preachers giving a smooth gospel, speaking smooth words. No, he said, for example, when people came to get baptized, verse 7, he said, you brood of vipers, my, what language he used, who want you to flee from the wrath to come. And he said, therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. First of all, he said, repent radically. And then he said, bring forth fruit for repentance. And he says, verse 9, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, we must deal with the root of the problem. And if you, repentance is turning from sin, doing your own will, and turning to God. Change, it's a change of mind. It's the change of direction. It's not pressing on to perfection. It's just, once upon a time you want to do your own will, you are far away from God, you enjoy sinning, a day comes in your life when you say, I'm a sinner, I need to repent, I need to turn from my sin and turn to God. And therefore I get baptized, saying I've repented. Jesus has forgiven my sins, I confess my sins to Jesus, and He has forgiven my sins. And now, I receive Him as my Savior and Lord. And so baptism, we can say, is the first step. When you repent, and turn to God, and you say, God's forgiven all my past sins. Past things are wiped away. And the past need not harass you and bother you. And it's so wonderful when the past sins are settled. You know, when we come to baptism, we must be clear, saying, I repented. I confessed my sins to Christ. And I believe Jesus loved me and died for me. And all my past sins are cleansed. And I start with a clean slate. And one more thing I want you to notice this morning here in this chapter. It's not just baptism in water. See here what John says. Verse 10. John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water. But one who is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, I praise the Lord for John the Baptist. He is a wonderful man. He not only said you must repent, lay the axe to the root, bring forth fruit meat for repentance. He said, Jesus, He will baptize you. Sometimes I find many people are not so bold to confess that. Many people say, Jesus is my Savior. But somehow, when it comes to confessing that Jesus is my baptizer, their tongues are tied. I want to say this morning, Jesus is not only our Savior, He will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And when we repent and turn from our sins, we not only get forgiveness of sins, we also bring forth fruit. Brothers and sisters, that's also good news. I mean, that's the mark of a man who's repented. Now he begins to bring forth fruit for God. People can see something has happened in this person, and I believe all of us must be good examples of that. Okay, that is just the introduction about baptism for repentance. And this morning I want to take you quickly through different chapters in the book of Acts. And we see in Acts chapter 2. See, this is on the day of Pentecost. They were all gathered together and, you know, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter begins to preach. This is the first message Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Verse 14. Acts 2:14. But Peter, taking his stand with 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men and rulers, okay. He goes on preaching a really anointed message. And, you know, Peter was so filled with the Spirit. And he's quoting from Acts. He says, and it shall be in the last days, verse 17. God says, I'll pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams, even of my born slaves. Both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit and they shall prophesy. And then verse 22. You know, by the way, this is not a prepared message, but that Peter was preaching. It was all from the heart, through the Spirit, and straight to the heart of people. I like it. Oh, may the Lord raise up many like that in our midst. And verse 22, men of Israel, he said, listen to this word, Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders. And he goes on saying how Jesus was delivered by the Jews. And then verse 24, God raised him again. And verse 25, I saw the Lord always in my presence. He said, my right hand, so I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. And he says, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your holy ones to undergo decay. You have made known to me the way of life and you will make me full of gladness in your presence. And then he explains how He's quoting from Joel and he's quoting from Psalms. And he is explaining how God raised Jesus from the dead, verse 33, therefore having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear, and how Jesus has been exalted. And you know, he gave a short message, but it was power-packed. And it says, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. What a wonderful message Peter gave from Joel and Psalms, magnifying Jesus. And they were convicted of their sins. The trouble today with many is, they're not convicted of their sins. They're all thinking, we are all good people, we come from a good background, we haven't done anything that serious. And that's why they're not convicted of their sins, but not on the day of Pentecost. After Peter preached, they were tremendously convicted. And then, they said, brethren, what shall we do? I've met many people who were not saved. I never see them coming and asking, brother, I need help. I don't feel I'm saved. But here they said, brothers, we don't know, I don't know what to do. What shall we do? And then Peter said, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And he said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that day 3,000 people repented and turned from their sins to God. The one good thing I see there, all of them were genuine. They were so convicted, they were sincere, they turned from their sins to God, and they got baptized immediately. Not after some months and years, like today, we see so many believers. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit also. That's something wonderful. And all, that's my favorite verse, I'm not tired of quoting that verse. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. In other words, when we repent and turn to Christ, we receive the first gift from God. That's called the gift of salvation, gift of righteousness, gift of the grace of God, and gift of justification. And I believe that's a wonderful gift. We need to appreciate, brothers and sisters. Some of us, we seem to take for granted. You know, when somebody gives you a costly gift, you remember the person. He gave me this gift. And I believe we need to value the gift of forgiveness of sins. All our sins are wiped out, free of charge, by the blood of Jesus. And like we sing the song, rolled away, every burden of our heart is rolled away. I believe when we repent and turn from our sins, the burden is rolled off, and that's why there's joy in our life. And we receive the gift of righteousness. In other words, God declares you as righteous, as if you never sinned before. That's the meaning of justification. And all of you are getting baptized. I hope you are thankful to God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, gift of forgiveness. And not only that, your name is also written in the book of life. And I believe you must be so thankful. Thank you, Lord, for your love and this wonderful gift. Learn to appreciate and value this gift all through your life. And in case some of you have already been baptized, you've not valued the gift, I would say, start valuing the gift from today. Okay, then you get one more gift from God. First is the gift of salvation. Number two, it says when you repent and you're baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was telling someone yesterday, gift means it's free. We receive everything free from God. And I believe that's the wonderful thing of a Christian life. You don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to earn God's grace and favor. And you don't have to earn for the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Come with empty hands and you receive the gift of salvation. And come with empty hands, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you got to receive it by faith, both the gifts. And I really believe, brothers and sisters, we need to value both the gifts. And then it says here, in 41, So then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That's why we don't compel anyone to be baptized. Those who gladly receive the word of God, those who repent of their sins, they get baptized. I must say, we've never put pressure on anyone to be baptized in this church. And Peter said one more thing later on in Acts chapter 3 verse 19. In another message he said, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. And that's what happens when you repent. Your sins are wiped away. And in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, when you repent, God refreshes you, brothers and sisters. And that's something wonderful in the new covenant. I believe God wants to continually refresh us through the Holy Spirit, through His presence. And God wants us to live a refreshed life, not a stale, stagnant Christian life, but one where we are refreshed constantly by the presence of the Lord. Okay, then we move on to the second instance in Acts chapter 8. See, here we find Philip. Verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. See, the Lord led, verse 5, maybe before that. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Philip was led supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to go to Samaria. He was a young brother, and you know, many turned from their sins, many got healed, many got baptized. And verse 14, now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The apostles, they began laying their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They repented, they got baptized in water, and same time they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want you to notice this morning, right from the beginning. Baptism of John, we see the baptism in water, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we see on the day of Pentecost, baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are not delinked. And here we find in Acts chapter 8, baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, we read further on in verse 25, how this Ethiopian, he was like a finance minister, and he was traveling in the chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And how the Lord spoke to Philip, verse 26. Go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He listened. How wonderful. Then he went there, then he saw this chariot. He saw this man reading the Bible, and Philip, then we see how Philip struck a conversation with him. And the Spirit told Philip, go and join this chariot. It's amazing. Then Philip ran and he heard that the finance minister was reading the book of Isaiah. And then Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I can't. Unless somebody explains to me. And that's so true, brothers and sisters. Many times, the fundamental things we don't understand, we need someone to help us. And this man was humble enough to say, I don't understand unless someone helps me. And then it says here, verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? Nobody put pressure on this man. He volunteered. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said spontaneously, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and both went down to the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. What a wonderful service that was. And it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. But he went on his way rejoicing. All of you are getting baptized. I hope this morning after you finish your baptism, you'll go on your way rejoicing. That's the life God's planned for you. That you can rejoice, God's forgiven all your sins. And you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God will give you His joy. And you have a wonderful future ahead of you. Okay. Then I want to show you one more passage in Acts chapter 9. This is like a short guided tour of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, we see how Saul got saved. We know how Saul was against the Christians, he was persecuting the church. One day he had a revelation of Jesus, revelation of God's love. And his whole life was changed. And you know, he saw the light from heaven and he became blind. And then the Lord sent a disciple to say, verse 10. And there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Get up and go to the street called Straight. In other words, the Lord was telling Ananias, go to Saul's house. Okay, lay your hands on him. And of course, Ananias said, Lord, he was trying to teach the Lord. And the Lord says, simply go. And then verse 17. Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I like that expression. You see the connection here, brothers and sisters? And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight and he got up and was baptized. So I see Saul was baptized in the Holy Spirit even before he got baptized in water. You know, after he got baptized. And I see Apostle Paul never backsliding. He went on from glory to glory, always testifying about God's love. And I believe, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a man Apostle Paul was. And I hope this morning you're following along with me the connection between repentance, baptism in water, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, maybe some of you are still not convinced. I'll show one more scripture from Acts chapter 8. Here there was a man called Cornelius. He was not even a Christian. But he was, verse 2 says, he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his heart and gave much alms. He prayed to God. One day the angel spoke to him and said, go and send for Simon. You know, this man was not even a Jew. But God saw his sincerity. And so he sent for Peter. And Peter was praying to the Lord, told Peter, you go. Somebody's looking for you. And so he went along with them. And he came to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius gathered all his relatives. And they were hungry. I'm a great fan of Cornelius, by the way. I'm not a fan of all these football players. But I'm a fan of Cornelius. Because he feared God with all his house, it says. And he gathered all the relatives. And they were so hungry and thirsty and needy that God could support them. And so Peter came there, and then Peter began to speak the message. And again, this was a very short message. Peter just began to speak. He says, verse 14, he's saying, God is not partial. Verse 35, every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right, is welcome to him. And then he preaches about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And how the Jews nailed him to the cross. How verse 40, how God raised him from the dead. And how there is witnesses. And verse 43. And it says verse 44, while Peter was preaching, Peter didn't even finish his message. It says, while Peter was still speaking, verse 44, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard, who were listening to the message. And I want to encourage all of you brothers and sisters in CFC. I hope you have a desire to be like these folks at Cornelius' house. I pray that all of us will be like that. Come to the meeting with such a hunger, such a thirst, such humility, such brokenness, that the Lord can pour out His Spirit upon us. Oh, I would have loved to be there at the time. So they were hearing them speaking with tongues, exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as they did. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sure heaven rejoiced that day when Cornelius and all the religious turn from sin, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water. So we have some instances where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit even before they were baptized in water. It depends on the hunger and thirst of the people. And I want to encourage all of you this morning who are getting baptized. Say, Lord, I want to receive the gift you have promised for me. You don't have to beg and plead for the gift. Gift is free. You receive in faith. And God is eager to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we move on to one more passage in Acts chapter 16. Just to make it short, I don't want to take much time. Here we see Paul and Silas in prison. And how they began to praise the Lord. The Lord opened the prison doors. And then the jailer, he says here, and after he brought them out, he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a good question. Is there anyone who is not saved here? Have you ever asked this question? What must I do to be saved? And Peter said, verse 31, Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Earlier on he said, Repent. Here he said, Believe. And that day this jailer turned to the Lord. And the same night it says here, he didn't wait for some days to consult his father and mother. Verse 33, and he took them that very hard that night, washed their wounds, and immediately was baptized. He and his household. You see how they were quick to obey, brothers and sisters. When you're quick to obey, the Lord will fill you also quickly. And verse 34 it says here, and he brought them into his house, set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his household. And I believe this morning, today is a day of rejoicing for all of us, to rejoice with these brothers and sisters. And one more verse, passage in Acts chapter 19. See, Paul came to Ephesus here, and verse 2, and he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, No, we have not even heard whether there is Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, some of you this morning, who have been coming here so long to CFC, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Can you look at me straight in the eyes and tell me? Brothers, you good brothers and sisters, some of you I know you are good people, but have you received the Holy Spirit? And at least here they were honest. They said, No. I always tell people, if you tell me I'm not saved, I'm not born of the Holy Spirit, I can help you. But if you assume that you know, then I can't help. And then it says here, see, they were already baptized for the baptism of repentance. And then it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And 6, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Did you see the connection, brothers and sisters? They were baptized in water and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And all at the same time. How wonderful. I hope it thrills your heart. It thrills my heart to see how people can easily be baptized in water and be baptized in the Holy Spirit without any complication. You know, many of the intellectual people, I find they never get baptized. I know, I met many people who are highly qualified. Somehow they get stuck when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I tell you, the Holy Spirit bypasses intellect. And I hope this morning you will say, Lord, I want to be desperate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God always fills those who are hungry, thirsty, needy, and desperate. Okay, I finished my tour of Acts, and then I want to come back to Matthew chapter 3. All Luke 3, it's all the same. And now we see the baptism of Jesus. It's so wonderful. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And Luke 3 also, same, you can refer to in Luke also, same passage. Luke chapter 3, we see the same passage about Jesus getting baptized. In verse 21. In Luke here it says, Now when all the people were baptized, Luke chapter 3 verse 21. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, You are my beloved son, you I am well pleased. You know, it's a wonderful thing about Jesus. He came to the baptism praying. How good, brothers and sisters. Come with the spirit of prayer. And then Jesus identified himself with mankind. He identified themselves even though he had never sinned. He joined the queue of people getting baptized. He looked so ordinary, just like many others who repented of their sins. Jesus never had to repent of his sins. But he wanted to identify himself with you and me. And it says here, Matthew 3 still is clearer. After being baptized, verse 16, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. I think the first time we read in the New Testament, heavens are open to Jesus. And you may say, brother, that's for Jesus. Will the Lord open up heaven for me? And I want to say this morning, to all those who are getting baptized, the Lord wants to open up heavens for you. And all those who have been baptized also earlier, the Lord wants to open heavens to us this morning. And he told about Jesus, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And I want you to open your mouth and confess your faith. The Lord will open the heavens to me. And he will support me. He will keep me from falling. He will give me grace. He will give me the power of resurrection to walk in the newness of life. That is faith, brothers and sisters. Don't say, oh brother, I don't know what will happen. Will I fall again into sin? Shall I tell you something? You don't have to. And if you slip and fall, get up immediately and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you to give me grace to walk in a new way and never to go back to the old life. No turning back, like we sing. Like a dog that turns to his vomit. Say, Lord, I never, never, never want to go back to that old life. And some of you are baptized. I want to ask you, have you gone back to the old life? Maybe you need to repent this morning. Say, Lord, I return to the vomit. I want to repent. I want to come back to you. You don't need to get baptized again, but maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you receive power, when the Spirit comes on you, you shall receive power. And you shall be my witnesses. And not only that, all those are getting baptized. Trust the Lord. And say, Lord, I believe I will get your approval henceforth. I want to trust you for that. And I believe the Lord honors our faith. And all those who are baptized, can you trust the Lord for his approval? Can you say, Lord, help me never to go back to that backslidden life, never to that worldly life. Lord, I want to trust you. I want your approval. Henceforth, I want to live in such a way that you can give me your approval. And I believe we want to be in a spirit of faith this morning and say, Lord, from today, today's 20th, is it? Today's 20th of July. Even if you're backslidden, if you repent and come back to faith, Lord, I trust you that from 20th of July, I will live to get your approval. And I'll walk with you. I'll please you. I'll do your will. I'll be a disciple. And I want to say this morning, the Lord will be eager to tell you also, this is my beloved son. Put your name there. Don't be in unbelief, saying, oh, that's only for Jesus. Rise up in faith this morning and say, baptize me, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Give me power to live in such a way that you can tell about me also, that you are happy with me. And the Lord, then I believe, the Lord lead us higher. We shall live to the praise of the glory of his grace. You don't need to go back to their old life, brothers and sisters. I believe that's how we must lead all those who are getting baptized. So you've got a wonderful future. You don't need to backslide at all. Trust God. I'm not unrealistic. In case you slip up and fall, I believe you need to confess your sins and come back to the Lord. We don't preach sinless perfection here. If you slip, the Bible says, if you need to confess. It says in 1 John 1, I just want to show you that verse. In closing, 1 John 1:1-1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, the Christ Jesus, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for us only, for those of the whole world. And that's the provision God's made. We don't need to live in sin. Any case of our attitudes, sin must be completely changed. I believe in radical repentance, radical conversion. I believe in baptism in water. We believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you live like that, brothers and sisters, I believe heavens will be open over you. All those who believe, can you say amen? Amen. Good, I'm happy to hear more and more people saying amen. May the Lord bless all those who are getting baptized. And may the Lord bless all those who are baptized and not receive the gift of the Spirit. Today is your turn. If you come with hunger and thirst, like we sing in the song, He will fill your heart to overflowing as the Lord commanded you. Will you say, Lord, I want the overflowing life. I want the life of power, Lord. Lord, fill me the Holy Spirit like Cornelius. And I want to say this morning, even today, the Lord will back you up like Cornelius. The Lord back Cornelius. And the Lord will also back you up and anoint you and make your life glorious. And may the Lord lead all of us higher into a new dimension today. Even as a church, may the Lord lead us to a new dimension. And oh, may heavens be open over us this morning. And may God's good pleasure rest on us. And may the Spirit rest on us. It says the Spirit descended. It's in other places. It remained on Jesus. Maybe some of you say you were anointed one day long time ago. As the Spirit departed from you, brothers and sisters, you say, Lord, I want to come back to you. I want your Spirit to rest on me all the days of my life. And I believe the Lord will hear your prayer and answer our longings. Amen.